Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 4. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I reviewed PSN Number 19, testosterone, the principal and most potent androgen known. Testosterone is critical to wellness for both men and women and is a key factor in the health of the heart and blood vessels. Testosterone is both a steroid and anabolic hormone and is transported in the blood plasma attached to serum proteins. The average male produces between 4 and 10 milligrams a day. Females average between 0.04 and 0.12 milligrams daily. That's a ratio difference of about 40 to 1 or 4,000%. So, you know, men absolutely produce more testosterone on a regular daily basis than females. It's part of the reason why we have our connection to testosterone as a major driving force, and to a lesser degree, females. Of course, their driving force is estrogen, which we also produce, but in much lower amounts. So it's kind of the opposite there. In men who are inactive, testosterone levels decrease with age by up to 50% between ages 25 and 75, or when calculated about 1% per year after age 25. Many variables contribute to declining levels of testosterone, including elevated cortisol caused by prolonged stress and sleep deprivation, poor nutrition, consumption of trans fats, various medications, testicular degeneration, constant worry, emotional stress, and excessive aerobic activity. But the principal cause of this decrease in testosterone over time, for the great majority of adults, is the absence of an eternal anabolic drive created exclusively through weight-bearing resistance training. Therefore, the best therapy for the great majority of men and women who begin to lose their mental edge, their sense of purpose, or their ambition as they age, is to get to the gym and train. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is mentorship training, a lost art. In years gone by, before public schools existed, and before we as children were forced by law to attend them, students were often tutored by a mentor known by reputation for their great ability and or specialized knowledge. A mentor served as a teacher, counselor, guide, and trusted advisor. Great mentors that come to mind include Socrates, who mentored Plato, Plato, mentor to Aristotle, and Aristotle, who mentored Alexander the Great. Another great example is Yip or Ip Man, I.P. Man, Grand Master of the martial art Wing Chun, who mentored Bruce Lee. Mentors are trailblazers and often create their own private school or system to facilitate their educational method of distinction, including such wonderful examples as Bob Ross, the painter, you know, you see him on public educational TV, Fred Astaire, the great dancer, Maria Montessori, she created the Montessori schools, and of course, Joseph Pilates, the father of the Pilates system of training. So these are all great examples of people that were really focused on something unique and special, and then took it to the next level, created a private school, and then were able to express their concepts to large amounts of people using the newer technology. Mentors share their experience and insight over time in a relatively slow but organized, controlled, and practical manner. They teach by example and introduce the apprentice to the work in accordance with their ability as it develops over time. So it's very individualized. Less emphasis is placed on how long it takes for the student to graduate. The element of being in a rush and rushing around, this is perceived as wasteful and potentially destructive. So a mentor is going to take their time and do it right. They're not in a rush to get the program done and then pump people through a system. Value with discretion was placed on ability, skill, and performance. the mentor knowing, of course, that individual students develop the capacity to perform procedure and specific tasks at individual rates. Now, this is completely excluded from the consciousness of the public education system. Everyone's the same. Everyone's forced to do the same work. And that just doesn't work with human beings. In the same way that athletic training has to take the person as an individual, our individual response is unique, and our connection to the exercise or the type of training. I mean, look at sports. Some people love lacrosse. Some people hate it. Some people love golf. Some people hate it. Now, let's say that you love golf for whatever reason, and you're going to study it. Well, that's great. But what about someone who hates it? Do you think they're going to be as excited? And why do they hate it? Think of the sports you love and hate. Why do you hate and love them? Are you wrong because you hate a sport or love another one? Absolutely not. And this concept of individuality is completely ignored in the public education system. I mean, just compare what mentors do to the assembly line approach of mass education commonly observed today, and then consider the social outcome and ramifications of this newer system on human behavior. I mean, it definitely generates an increase in productivity. You can see what we're producing all around us. Our current economic system depends on it to exist. Without increased productivity, it just falls apart. But what is the expense? What's the cost to humanity? How about this? Mindless, endless consumption of useless stuff. Wage slavery, universal debt, and extremely poor mental and physical health, especially emotional health. I don't see a lot of positivity in people. They're basically just beat down, but they're still going through the motion. At least that's what I see all around me. And there's exceptions and there's dynamic people, but they are not in the majority. In the mentor tradition, the student apprentice, viewed as a novice and one who desired to learn a certain trade, occupation, or skill, was typically bound by legal agreement to work for the mentor for a specific amount of time in return for instruction in the trade, the art, or the business. But this system of barter has now been replaced with a conventional form of direct financial remuneration between the student and the school via banking institutions. The original concept of mentorship, though now seldom practiced, has incredible merit. But it has been dropped by the conventional education system in favor of the advantages of educating mass numbers of students in less time. What would have taken years of training in the past has now been replaced by a highly structured, unionized, legislated system of bureaucracy that offers graduation in return for completing a specific amount of course credits. Essentially, it relies on rote learning, R-O-T-E, rote. This is a widespread memorization technique based on repetition. Does that sound familiar? Remember school? Remember growing up in school? Everything was about memorizing data, trying to hold on to it for as long as possible for the exam, and then you forget almost everything that you so-called learned. Well, that's not learning, and that is not the approach of these traditional mentors. The now impractical mentorship style of teaching has been eliminated and replaced with a cookie-cutter turnstile system that in many ways reduces quality in favor of producing greater volume and so-called equality. So everybody has the same sort of communist-like effect or approach or treatment. And you can't treat people that way. You have to individually assess their needs, their desires, their dreams, and see whether or not they have even the capacity to receive the information as you, the teacher, are presenting it. So here's my question. Would you prefer to be taught by a personal trainer with no actual experience in weight training, who just completed a weekend weight training course and is certified, or by someone who has weight trained for decades, studied the science, looks like they train, and has a mature understanding of human behavior, emotions, and motivation? But they're not certified. They haven't taken any certification courses. But through experience and the dedication of the athlete and the hunger and the desire to improve, these people are really the key players in what makes progress happen in others. And those are the kinds of people I want to work with, regardless of whether they've taken courses or not. I think it's a combination. I think it's a matter of studying the right information and doing the work and actualizing yourself to become a true master through a combination of studying, research, and science, and then also living the life. My version of personal training is unlike the conventional form as it is typically defined or perceived. In fact, I don't call what I do personal training because of how most clients and personal trainers think of what personal training is or is not. I mean, you all know me. I'm a writer. I'm a teacher. I put together the CSNA education program. My goal is to discharge or dispense as much information as possible to students around the world who want to learn about sports nutrition, whole food, dietary supplements, how to live well, stay well for life. But I also have this mentorship concept on the side, and I don't solicit anybody. I just wait for people to come to me, people that are genuinely interested in taking themselves to the next level. And they want to find out how I do what I do and how is it that I'm able to stay on track and be consistent and never lose pace, never lose my purpose, never lose my focus, regardless of stress, regardless of loss of lives, regardless of what's going on around me. I still do what I need to do to stay well because that's my objective. That's my obligation. For many years, I have observed literally, you know, hundreds, perhaps thousands of trainers in the gyms. I travel all over the world. I always go to the gym and I see what's going on. I watch it. And I always feel like there's something missing. And so what is it? What's missing in the current personal training model? Well, that's something I soon discovered is dormant in trainers today. I think they have the potential, but they don't do it. So here it is. Personal trainers don't train with their clients. That's it. They certainly train them, but they don't train with them. And man, is there ever a big difference? Here's an observation. Personal training clients seldom reach a state of complete comprehension and independence. So I'm looking at outcome, like an athlete. What is the outcome of the training? What is the outcome of the education system? What does it produce? That's what you've got to look at. That's what determines whether or not it's effectual, functional, healthy, or morbid, perverse, and sick, and more for the benefit of the policymakers as opposed to the actual students. I mean, can these clients of the conventional trainers today train by themselves anywhere on the planet, in any gym, anytime, and do what they need to do? Are they completely independent? Have they received the right education instruction so no one needs to show them what to do? No, the answer is no. They become generally, not always, and of course there's always exceptions, but generally they become dependent on the trainer. They need the trainer, and without the trainer, they're useless. They just don't know how to function. So to me, the trainer has failed in what they are supposed to do, which is to teach and transfer and help this person understand what it is they're doing. I mean, they need to know what to do with confidence. Just like a plumber or a carpenter or an electrician who's gone through the apprenticeship, gone through the training, studied, and now you set them free. Now, when these completed people or these people that have gone through the system and they've been taught correctly, they've been taught to be independent, it doesn't mean they know it all. You don't have to know it all to get yourself going and to put yourself in the right mode so that you can achieve success. But they understand all the important principles and they can apply them, including why they need to routinely upgrade their personal knowledge. If a person understands that they need to upgrade themselves, they will do it. But they have to be motivated to do that from within because we can't be pounding on their head with a rod, you know, continuously. The people are left on their own and they have to be able to do what needs to be done on their own. After years of study and on-the-job apprenticeship training, certified trade professionals are able to work alone and even form their own companies as self-directed entrepreneurs. And so it should be with students in any field who are mentored. Each student should be set free to live and create their own personal vision of life. That's where the satisfaction comes. That's where the the purity of heart and mind and thought comes from. You yourself set free, doing what you want to do, and part of that obligation, that structure, that formulae for health is to stay well, is to be centered and complete. The time for diapers and hand-holding has got to come to an end. I've got grandchildren. They're in diapers. They depend on me to change those diapers. But eventually, they're going to move from the diapers to the next phase and then eventually be on their own. And I'm going to have to teach them and their parents how to do the pee-pee and the poo-poo on their own in the washroom. This is mentorship. This is teaching. This is parenting. But eventually, we want them to be independent and to also understand why they need to do what they do. There are consequences if you don't do what needs to be done, just like in life. If you don't do what needs to be done to be well, to be clean, to be whole, to be focused on your goals, it's not going to happen on its own. I don't simply tell my apprentice what to do. I do first what I want them to do second. Now, this is my training partner mentorship program. My apprenticeship is not someone I simply tell what to do, stand over, and watch as they attempt to do it. My student is my actual training partner because, unlike most personal trainers, I train full out in every way with my apprentice from start to finish. We complete the entire workout together, and I can tell you by experience, there is no better way to teach or to be taught. So by do, I don't mean a demonstration at half speed or in slow motion. I mean a full-out, complete set executed with intensity, pride, and passion. As their mentor and teacher, I train with the same absolute devotion and intensity that I expect from my apprentice. Do as I do is my motto, not do as I say, without the do part. You see, after watching me execute the exercise correctly, they are also expected to perform. Okay, they're going to watch me do it, and we both know that they have to do it. That's what's coming. Now, they're going to get motivated because they see me doing it. They become a witness of reality. They have seen that it is now possible to perform the exercise with intensity without compromising form because they just saw me do it. So now they have more potential to do the same. And they do. And this is why setting an example is so important in life. What kind of examples do you have in your life? Who is giving you the wonderful, great example of a human being in your life? Somebody that's independent, kind, empathetic, compassionate, loaded with health, strong, vital, ambitious, moving forward. Who can you think of is like that in your life? Now, how can anyone know what intensity and excellent performance is unless they see it firsthand up close with their own eyes? The truth, the response, is they can't. They can only imagine it, but their lack of imagination is also part of the problem. We have to plant the seeds of value in their mind. This is part of the role of a mentor. Challenge. Upset the apple cart. Disturb the environment. Challenge them to rethink the conclusion that they've already come to. Rethink it, because it's not working, sweetheart. Whatever you're doing, it ain't working. The beauty of this strategy is that after I'm finished performing my set, I can watch them like a hawk as they perform their own and point out any errors, highlight principles of training, or compliment them on a set well done after they finish. The message here is that nothing comes close to a real-life model. Reality is absolute, baby, and it's beautiful. Obviously, the number of graduates from my mentorship program is relatively low, but the quality of each graduate I certify through the Institute is very, very high. I mean, how many students like Bruce Lee come along each day? And besides, to reduce quality for volume motivated by profit is one of the main reasons why there are so few adults today who can train independently and keep it going. So let's say that I decided that volume was all that mattered to me. I just want to make money. I just want to pump out students. I don't care if they do the work. I don't care if they learn the material. I don't care if they move on to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, that's a moral issue. That's an issue of ethics in me. So how you behave, how you function, how you teach, how you act, that's an issue of ethics and morality. Where's your pride in what you do? And where's your pride shown and revealed in your student because of what you said and did? No, because a great teacher can set people straight when they're broken. The apprentice now knows exactly what they need, what they want, and how to get it. At the end of the mentorship period, whenever that may be, because it might be shorter or longer depending on the person, I have shared all of my knowledge, tested their understanding and skill, helped them overcome many of their personal demons, and formed a wonderful relationship that will stand the test of time. Those who sweat together in real time seldom forget the experience. As trained fishermen, they no longer need anyone to give them a fish. Yes, I'm all into saving lives and helping people, and I can't turn away. In most of my life experiences, I will put out even if it hurts, but I have to determine whether or not me putting out makes sense. So will I give a starving child a fish? Yes. But is it more important to me to teach that person, that adult with an infant-like mind? Is it more important to me to teach them how to fish? And I can't teach them if they don't want to be taught. I can't make them learn. And if I just give them something for nothing, they will continue to take and never change. And that, to me, makes me feel as if what I'm doing is of no value. So I don't do it. It's just pure logic in it. So clarity of purpose has to be manifest in the eyes. That's what you can see in your students when you've done your job as a mentor, as a great teacher. Clarity of purpose. They're clear about what they have to do, what they want to do. Cause and effect flows like a current of electricity through their minds. Patience and understanding is written on their hearts. The apprentice, at their own discretion, can now move forward and become the master they were always destined to become. And you know what? You know why I know that? Because nobody goes to the mentor on their own willingly unless they have the capacity to be greater than they are. That's what drives them to do it. Everyone else is in the back seat being driven around. They go to the class. They're involved in the public system, turnstile, assembly line. And for whatever reason, they're happy and satisfied with that. But there are some people out there, and Bruce Lee was one of them, who wasn't happy, wasn't satisfied. And he bucked the system, and he said to the great martial art artist teachers and masters, you know what? I'm going to create my own system. I'm taking the gold and the silver and the precious gems from everything you've told me and taught me, and I'm going to create my own system. And that's what Paul Check did. That's what I've done. That's what Colgan's done. That's what Charles Poliquin did. Maybe you can do that too. Maybe you can create something unique, something wonderful, something powerful. Something that will help change the world, because you are the seat of that change. It's you being revealed in your majesty, your magnitude, and power. And all it is that you want to do is help people achieve complete wellness and health, mind, body, spirit. So is it true that fate is what we make? If you're not sure, watch the entire Terminator series to find out. I mean, I just love that series. And Arnold as the Terminator, T1, T2, T3. And now with T5 coming out, with Arnold coming back, I mean, how awesome is that? Take control of your life. Find a mentor. Learn from a master and pursue the best possible course of action possible. And in the meantime, I'll be back. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Plutarch, Greek historian, biographer, and essayist who lived from 45 AD to 120 AD. The mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be kindled.